streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sounding, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise a mountain fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, me to rescue me from danger, brought me with his precious blood.
And thank you, young people. I appreciate that. And at this time, you need to take your Bibles out. John's going to come and preach for us this evening. Hopefully, you've had a chance to meet John and his wife, Abigail. It's been good to have them with us this weekend. And the bad thing about this is they have to go home tomorrow. And he still has a job for now. And we'll see if we can change that. Very excited to have John with us this weekend and to present him to you as what I believe God is leading for our next assistant pastor. And so we're going to hear him preach tonight. And let me encourage you, as you're listening to him preach, to not be critiquing his preaching ability, because you're going to miss what God has for you from his word tonight. And so listen to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart tonight. Now, if y'all fall asleep, then that's something we'll have to address next week, okay? So glad to have them with us. John, why don't you come and preach at this time?
All right, the title of this evening's message is Lessons from David's Mighty Men. So we're going to be diving into some history this evening and learning about what some of God's men in the past have done. But before we do that, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time that you've given to us. Father, I pray first and foremost that you would be honored and glorified. Father, I pray that you would help me to communicate clearly the truths of your word. I pray that your spirit would be at work, helping us to understand what your word has for us this evening. And I pray that you'd help each one of us to grow to be more like you. Father, I thank you and praise you for your love, your mercy and grace. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to honor you tonight. I pray these things in your holy, precious Son's name. Amen. We're in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8. Now, David's mighty men were characterized by their valor. On earth, these men were powerful warriors, but that was only because they had the same source of power. These men had the Lord on their side. And here we are going to see a brief look at the feats of the chief three of David's men. So once again, we're in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8 says, "These be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Esnite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time." Now, when I go through this, I always enjoy getting the meaning of these people's names. You know, how were they named? What was the reason for their naming? And this is what his name means. It says this man was also called Adino. This was meaning slender in definition of weapon choice. The Esnite means sharp or strong in reference to his spear. This man was literally known for his work with a spear. That's how he was known. He was a warrior. And the thing about Adino was that he fought against all odds. There were a bunch of people coming at him. It says he lifted up his spear against 800. He stood there against all odds, and he gave the best he had. And this evening, Adino's act is our illustration. No matter how great the numbers against him were, Adino did not surrender. He held his ground. And we have overwhelming odds today. Now, thankfully, we don't have to pick up a spear and defend ourselves against 800 men, but we do have overwhelming odds. Our situations threaten to cover our testimony for our God. And that is how we'll use Adino's life today as an illustration. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10 says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." And Proverbs chapter 1, verse 15 says, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path." See, sinners, they entice us. And if we're not careful, sin takes hold in our lives. And these are the odds that we face to cover our testimony for our God. In James chapter 4, verse 7, verse 8, it says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." See, we as Christians need to be constantly submitting ourselves to God. That is the only way we can resist the devil and the influences of this world, is if we are submitting ourselves to God. If we're in our Bibles daily, if we have a great relationship with God, then our testimony will not be covered. We as Christians today need to fight against all odds to show our testimony for our God. Now, if Adino was truly a name given only because of the use of his spear, that's pretty impressive. To think that a man could be known by his ability with his spear. But for us, how are we known in our community? At our workplace? What are we known as? I can tell you from what I've seen at my workplace, there are many people who say they're Christians, but they're known as swearing people. They're known as liars. They're known as so many other things that are negative because their testimony is covered. They've given in, or they're not saved in the first place. But for us, as Christians, wouldn't it be great to be known as a truthful person in the midst of liars? To be known as dependable among people who aren't dependable? To be known as kind in the midst of people who aren't kind? Wouldn't it be pretty amazing if people started calling you by that nickname? Oh, here comes Mr. Kind over here today. He's here to love on us a little bit more. Oh, here comes Mr. Dependable, never failing us, always holding us up. But that was how Adino was known, by his spear. Let's continue reading in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 9. It says, "And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were there, gathered together to battle. And the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil." So here we have Eleazar, and his name means "God is my helper." And here is our scene. The men of Israel had gone, and David and his men were there to defy or to resist boldly and openly the Philistines. So Eliezer, his first action that we see was that he arose. Verse 10, he arose. He took action. He didn't sit back and wait for things to happen. He got up and he did something about what he saw. The first words of Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 are, I can do. I can do. That phrase is personal. It is positive. And it's active. As Christians, we need to be active. We can't just sit back and allow things to pass us by. We need to give our best to be active, to help those around us, to love them, to be kind to them. The first time I preached this message, I had a man come up to me and he said, you know why that Eliezer guy was so tough, right? I said, no, I'm afraid I don't know that. Why was he so tough? And he goes, well, his father's name was Dodo. And he had to stand up for that. But Eliezer, he arose. He took action. James 1:22 tells us to be doers of the word. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. The next part that we see in the life of Eliezer here, I'll read verse 10 again. It says, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. Eliezer persevered. He didn't give up. I know as Christians it's easy to want to give up. I've talked with many people that have said, I've witnessed to this person 5 or 6 times and I'm just ready to give up. But we can't give up. God has placed us here as ambassadors to persevere, to continue spreading his word, to never give in, never give up. And some people say that they've given up because of tribulation. But if we've done that, we've lost sight of what tribulation is for. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4 say, the end of verse 3 says, tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Tribulation that we face is meant to bring us closer to God. It's meant to increase our dependence on God. And if we give up in a tribulation, then we're walking away from our trust in God. We need to stand and persevere. I find this part of Eliezer's life interesting. It says, his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. He couldn't let go. He had fought so hard, he persevered so long, that he no longer had the ability to let go of his sword. I like to climb trees. I do something called tree tipping. And what that is you grab onto a tree. For me, it's a smaller tree. I don't take much. It's a smaller tree, probably about that size. And I'll climb this tree to the top. When I get to the top of that tree, I ride it down. Let go of it, and the tree springs back up and goes back and forth a little bit. But I have fun doing that. I thought it was a great little challenge. But there was one day I was outside doing this for probably around 30 minutes to an hour, just climbing the top of the tree and riding it down. And finally I saw the last tree I wanted to climb, and I climbed up it, and I started riding it down. I thought, yeah, this is the best thing ever. And about a foot off the ground, I stopped, and I couldn't let go of the tree. My hands were locked tight on that tree. I had lost my ability to move my fingers. I was done. I was a foot off the ground, but I was helpless. And I was just hanging there. And my friends came over. They said, hey, what you doing? You doing all right there? I said, no, could I get some help? So I had to have someone else climb up the tree, which wasn't too hard now. It was pretty low to the ground. And he got next to me. And then I had to have someone else pry my fingers off of that tree. And boy, did it hurt. But that's where Eliezer was. See, he had persevered so much, he no longer had the ability in his hand to let go. And that's where we need to be as Christians. We should cleave so tightly to God's Word that we no longer have the ability to let go. That we need it. That we can't separate ourselves from it. That we've developed a thirst, a hunger for it that will not go away. So that when others see us, our testimony is clear. But even as Eliezer fought, grew tired, he persevered. There's a saying that I learned at college that as Christians, we may grow tired in the work, but never of the work. To never give up, to keep going. Being tired is no excuse. We are given commands from God, and we must still persevere in them and obey them. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't take a break. God has designed rest as well. That's important for us. But we need to persevere. And Eliezer is our illustration. But you see, the secret to Eliezer's victory, the secret to Adino's victory, is found right in verse 10. It says, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory. For all that Eliezer had done, for all his ability, he would not have been able to do it without the strength of God on his side. Amen. And it's the same with us today. I know myself, I have gotten away from the Lord many times, and suddenly I find myself very difficult to resist any temptation. Why? Because I've gotten away from the pillar that I need to stand on. And we as Christians, we need God. We need Him. There's no way around it. And let's continue reading about David's mighty men. Verse 11. And it says, and after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. So now we come up with Shammah here. And Shammah's name means desolation. Now, if I was a Philistine man and I was running after someone and I realized his name was Desolation, I think I'd turn in the other way and run even quicker than I was running towards him in the first place. But these Philistines were gathered, and they were after the Israelites' crops. The rest of the Israelites fled. They wanted no part of it. Why defend a field of lentils? But Shammah stood his ground. Verse 11, once again, of 2 Samuel 23 says, and after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. So Shammah stood up, defended the land when no one else would. Now in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 17, we read about the armor of God. But also in that portion of Scripture, we read the word stand firm very often. Standing firm requires being prepared. So every day that we have on earth, we must be prepared. Wear the armor of God. Be ready to stand our ground. It requires action on our part. Standing firm is not hiding behind walls. It's being out in the open, prepared in every way possible for the fight that is coming. But Shammah defended this field of lentils. Seems like a strange thing to defend after you read through the other guys and what they did. But see, he knew that where he was where God wanted him. In the Bible, it's clear that destroying crops was a tactic of war. If you can cut off the food supply, you are weakening the enemy army. And even in our wars, Sherman's march to the sea, he completely destroyed everything in his path, simply to weaken and demoralize the enemy. So Sherman knew what they were trying to do, and he stood up and defended the land. Now, it may have seemed like it was just one field among many, but the difference was Sherman was there. He was there and he was waiting. And this attitude that we need to gather is the attitude of being the best where we are. God has you, God has me right where he wants us right now. And we need to be the best where we are. We might think, well, I can't do much for God. I'm working somewhere where people don't listen to me, and I'm doing this, that, and the other. But God has you there for a purpose. Maybe it's for you to learn something. Maybe it's for them to learn something. But God always has a plan. God always has a purpose. So be the best where you are. Be the brightest. Show Christ. I find it interesting that when I was younger, I would read through the Bible and I would think, well, I'll do this one day. It'd be nice to follow what God's Word says here one day. And some of the verses I remember reading when I was young were Proverbs 17:17 that says, "A friend loves at all times." I thought, well, maybe one day I'll be that kind of friend. But being the best where we are demands that we do it right now. See, the Bible doesn't say, I want you to think of a really bad situation for your friend to get into, and then love at all times. It says a friend loves at all times. Psalm 62, verse 8 says, trust in him at all times. It doesn't say, wait for a really bad situation, and then trust. It says, trust at all times. Psalm 34, verse 1 says, bless the Lord at all times. Once again, it's not saying, wait for something great to happen, then bless the Lord. It says, at all times. At all times. Be the best where you are. Give God the best where you are. So we need to resolve as Christians to always give our best, no matter where we are, what we're doing, who we're with, to honor our God. Once again, we see the secret to these men's actions. Verse 12, the end says, "And the Lord wrought a great victory." We serve a God who is powerful. A God who loves us. And these men were pictures of what our God has done in the past. But they did a little bit more. See, these three men, apart, were impressive. They did great acts. But together, these men did something else. And we'll read on to see what else these men did. Verse 13. Verse 13 of 2 Samuel 23 says, "And the three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in an hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem." So here we have these three men coming to a stronghold where David was. And they're going to listen because David has a desire. And this desire we see in verse 15. "And David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." So David longed for a drink of water. And these three men were eager to help. See, these three men weren't fighting with each other. They amplified each other. They helped each other. So these three men took action. In verse 16, we read, "And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David." All they needed was David to long for that drink, and they were gone. They were going to get that drink. The only problem was it was surrounded by the Philistines. But that didn't stop them. They didn't give up. They were eager to help. As soon as this desire was known, they were gone. They got that water. They helped. And this is what happens. They brought it to David, verse 16. "Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord." See, David had this desire. David simply wanted a drink from that well. And these men fulfilled that desire. And they helped David focus on something so much greater. He took that drink of water that he had coveted so much, and he poured it out as a drink offering to God. So David just simply wanted that drink. Maybe it was a selfish desire, I don't know. But if it was, these actions of these men turned David's focus to God. They were eager to help. I can remember times when I was younger and I had to do something. I wasn't so eager to help. I remember my parents telling me to mow the lawn, and I thought, why do I have to do it? Why can't someone else do it? I've got three siblings. I don't care that he's two. He can mow the lawn. I mean, come on. But see, the difference here is the attitude behind it. These men had a heart for service, a desire, an eagerness to help. It wasn't a chagrin decision. It wasn't thinking, oh, I don't deserve this. I can't believe I'm stuck with this. It's, how can I help you today? How can I be of service? What can I do for you? That was the attitude of these three men working together. And they caused David to praise the Lord. Verse 17 says, "And he," this is David, "said, Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it." These things did these three mighty men. They helped David focus. And today we see in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, what these men had done for David. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." The actions of these men turned David's focus. And our actions today, our actions tomorrow, might help turn someone else's focus to our Father who is in heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 41 says, "And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain." That's what these men did for David. He had a simple desire, and these men fulfilled it. They went the distance. They did what they were supposed to as men of God. So once again, from Adino, we learn that we should fight against all odds. No matter how hard it seems, trust God. From Eliezer, we learn to take action and persevere. It didn't work today, but hey, maybe tomorrow it will. If it doesn't work tomorrow, maybe the day after that. Keep persevering. Keep growing. From Shammah, we learn to be the best where we are. God has us where we're at for a reason. He's placed us there for a reason. And you can minister there better than someone else can. God has you where you're at for a reason. And from all three of these men together, working together just as a church would, be eager to help. Look for ways to help. And trust God the whole time. And that is our role as Christians, our illustration tonight from the history of these men. I thank you very much for your time and for having me this evening. It's been a privilege to be here. I've been encouraged by seeing such a wonderful church family. And I want to let you know I felt very welcome. My wife has too. And I thank you very much for your open arms, for your kindnesses. Pastor Mick Phillips.
Let's bow our heads, please. Give us a moment here to reflect on the truth that's been shared, the challenge that's been given, as we consider the truth of Scripture now applied to our own hearts. And where does it fall when it comes to your own heart, your own life, your actions? In just a moment, we'll stand, the instruments will play, and I want to give you a time here to respond to the truth of God's Word here tonight. We always pray that God would be honored and glorified through everything that we do, and I believe the way God is honored and glorified through the preaching of His Word is when we respond to the preaching of His Word. And I trust that you will do that tonight. Let's stand, please, with our heads bowed.